Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 646. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Feeling ready to roll on this this here very show because nothing does beat a bad show. It does make an easier podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
Definitely a longer one.
It's not. As they said with some food, it was not as easy. It was easier going out. It's going to be easier going out as it was going in. just a really bad episode of Raw. I mean, this build to WrestleMania has been scattershot to begin with, and with, you know, last week between Raw and SmackDown, you know, we got the main matches pretty all set. So it was just, you know, 2 weeks of you know, maintaining a solid build, and they couldn't even do that much.
Well, yeah, their stories are still, for even some of the undercard matches, are still all over the place, and they're just, like, making some of them.
Oh, I mean, there's just, let's just take one thing up. I know we usually go to most important to least important, but let's just take something.
Not
Sheamus and Riddle. Sheamus, why do they do a full-length match on Raw with Sheamus going over clean to set up a title match at WrestleMania? Why?
I do not have a good answer for that at all.
I mean, Sheamus hit the guy in the gut with his scooter. That's it. That's your story. That's Myrtle's motivation to want Sheamus to put the title on the line. That's all you need to do. You didn't need to have them have a full match and just over. Riddle had 3 backstage segments last night.
Yeah, the funny thing is I watched the Penguins game to start with, so I kind of skipped a little bit of the beginning of Raw before flipping over. Riddle had already been in a segment before and half of his match before I flipped over. And then he was in 2 more segments then later in the show.
Yeah, no. I mean, his idiot stoner routine is just, it's not funny in the first place. But then not only is it not funny in the first place, they're overdoing it. So even if it was kind of funny, they would have beaten it. They're beating it into the ground anyway. It's just like, just the most cringeworthy. I attempt to say he's the most cringeworthy push person in WWE right now.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Like, they're clearly in on, you know, they are buying the Riddle stock. But that character is painful, man. Like, they've just taken the dude thing so out of context. Because I even think that Jeremy and I have talked about it, but they've made Riddle so dumb that it's almost unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. No, it really is unbelievable. And we're supposed to like him. Like once again, I made the analogy before. It's like we've all been at a party and trapped in a conversation with that stoner, with that drunk. No one likes that guy.
Like, everyone is always trying to pawn him off on the next person.
Yes.
You're trying to drag people into that conversation to save yourself, to maybe slip out the side door.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, and every week he has to have new conversations with other baby faces who have to then put him over and make themselves and demean themselves to put over this man. It's just like, ugh. I'm glad he had this little moment with Asuka where he forgot his line. It's just like, what an idiot. You know, ugh. God,
You know what? I was kind of wondering if that happened, but I think this might be a telling sign too. Like, I was on my phone entirely too much watching Raw, and not in.
No, I don't blame you.
And I guess that is one of those things. I didn't even think about it until now, but normally I haven't been tweeting that much recently, but there was a lot of stuff that compelled me to tweet during Raw. The parts that I did catch live.
Yeah.
That's not a good sign in general.
No.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's just another one of those ones where I don't understand why you're doing this to your own talent. You know, like, it doesn't make any sense to me to make their character this bad. Because, I mean, he's another one of those guys, and I think both you and I and Jeremy and I talked about it. Like, the WWE's in for a rude awakening when they get these people in front of crowds. Like, I don't think Riddle's going to get that reaction that they're expecting.
It's gonna be a very hardcore crowd, you know, amongst only 25,000 people in a 60,000 seat stadium, you know, during a pandemic, of course. It's gonna be a hardest of the hardcore crowd, and they are going to let the world know how they feel about Riddle and his character, as well as the fact that, you know, Sheamus has just been having great match after great match after great match. He is, you know, earning people's respect in a way that he maybe never in his career, other than maybe his run earlier in the previous decade, you know, when he was champion on SmackDown, you know, multiple times. Even then, there were still people who had some resentment towards the guy. Either he wasn't, you know, deserving, or he was, you know, Triple H's boy, or how, all that stuff. You know, the guy who beat Daniel Bryan in 19 seconds, like, that was his fault.
Yeah, well, and he also seemed to be one of those few guys that he really got pushed to the moon in a hurry.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, I think absolutely. That there was definitely, like, I'd love to go back and listen to those shows, but I feel like I had something of a resentment of him because of that, where it's just like, not that I don't feel like disliked him at the time, but it's just like, why is this the only guy you're doing this to? Like, you know, like, really? And yeah, beating Daniel Bryan in 19 seconds wasn't his fault at all.
Nah, but over this last year, he has just, a while back, well before he, you know, he turned on Drew and had those matches, I was saying he was quietly putting together a great last year, and he was. Now it's pretty dang loud, the appreciation for the work of one Sheamus. So yeah, I'm absolutely envisioning a scenario where Sheamus is cheered over Riddle.
Yeah, that would not surprise me in the least. So yeah, that is definitely, one of those matches that, it'll be interesting to see the reaction to it, when we get to it. And we did have, I don't know, what level of bad do you find breaking up the Hurt Business?
Oh, it's pretty damn bad. I've seen the signs for a while, and I hated it then. I hate it now. this is it's so bad. Like, you know, they're doing everything. They're trying to do everything they can to get this Drew versus Bobby match, you know, Keith. I mean, and to the point of obvious desperation. And
they've just overplayed it. You know, like, they overthought it. Mm-hmm. Like, they had the build already. Like, Drew got screwed out of it. Lashley didn't do the screwing. And Lashley's been dominant for, like, the last 3 months. Like, that's all you needed.
Yeah.
It was right there, and they felt the need to put on all this dressing that is unnecessary at best. At best, it's unnecessary. At worst, it's damaging. Like, I don't mind there being some level of consequences for Shelton and Cedric for not taking out Drew McIntyre 2-on-1, but breaking them up isn't like one of those things that's in general I don't view it as a good thing.
No, it's a terrible thing, and you know, it's gonna hurt Bobby's Lashley's character going forward. You know, the connection to the Hurt Business is what finally got him over the hump. You know, and yes, he'll still have MVP, but no, the whole act of the Hurt Business is what really, you know, with Lashley as a centerpiece, is what, you know, brought him to the dance here. And it's just, you know, obviously you never shouldn't have done a deal where Shelton and Cedric lost in a 2-on-1 match to begin with.
No.
And then then just having the whole breakup and Lashley, you know, attacking them. It's just, you know, and then we're now getting into the whole Drew McIntyre bounty storyline. That ended up just stupid. Let's just have Drew McIntyre go and emasculate the entire Raw locker room.
Yeah, that's what was so weird. They're going, like, and that's part of the just overthinking it part. Like, Lashley was he's been established as a heel for, like, pretty much the entire Hurt Business run. Like, there's definitely arguments to be made that they weren't ever really heels, but let's not get into that part of things. The WWE was definitely positioning him as a heel. They've been positioning Drew McIntyre as a babyface the whole time. You don't need to have, like, and then Bobby Lashley goes ahead and places the bounty on him. Okay, cool. That's a heel thing to do. Like, we've established that he's a heel. Why, like you said, like, why is Drew McIntyre going in and just challenging the whole Raw locker room like a complete and utter dickhead?
Yeah, he was being a complete dick. No, and
like, why am I supposed to root for that?
No, I have no idea why you're supposed to root for that. He just came off like a complete dick, and I didn't catch it, but he apparently made a comment about you and all your hashtags, you know, making a little dig about the bet, you know, these Sasha versus Bianca main event hashtags. Like, oh, you're gonna make people think that you're gotten to about that, you know, as far as night one is concerned. It's like, don't do that. Don't sound like or the company has gotten to about it. It's like, make the same mistakes with Drew that you did with Cena, that you did with Reigns, that they feel like they're just too much of the company champion.
Yeah.
The company spokesperson. Don't, yeah, and then just the general act, the way he was behaving, and just like, no. I've been behind Drew this pretty much this whole time. It's just like, why would I not? Yeah, they really, did a number on this, and then, having it beat Ricochet and beat Ali back to back, and then having Baron Corbin be the one to take him out.
Oh.
But not take him out of the match. So, I mean, that's Lashley's deal. You gotta take Drew out of the match.
Oh.
To get the match yourself. But that's not gonna happen.
Why don't you just have him
offer money? You know what? You can't just have a briefcase filled with fake money. Time tested, The classics always work.
They're overthinking it, and I don't they've made an easy build rocket science for no fucking reason whatsoever. I wanted to see that match. Like, they made that match, and I'm like, I want to see this. This is just going to be two big guys going at it, and it's going to be awesome. And both of them, have really turned the corner and have really, they've definitely gone full, main event mode, both of them, on the main roster. Like, if there's anyone doubting them at this point, I think that they're completely bonkers,
Yeah.
I think that they've both finally convinced Vince, and it's just what else do these guys need to do here now? Stop doing too much. Gosh, I know there's a lot of content to go around, but just completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Speaking of, is there anything else to say about that one? I just saw another reminder as I'm doing a watch through of Raw. Something else completely unnecessary. Braun Strowman's fake grade school report card.
That is just the worst of WWE comedy. Oh, that was terrible. That's completely unfunny. I hate Elias and Riker as Shane's sidekicks, just because I like Riker and think that Elias is played out as a heel. And then this whole thing with Shane calling Braun stupid, and it's, and now they're going to have a cage match. Probably the worst type of match for these two to have. Because they're literally now confined in a single fake space and have to have a match within it.
As much as Shane has had good matches, he has had... I'm trying to think if he's had any good, just completely in-ring matches.
The closest would be his match with AJ Styles. They did a little bit of shenanigans in it with didn't watch that long ago. The table spots on the outside and a trash can got involved. When the referee was down because it was technically a regular rules match. That one, and as far as a cage match is concerned, a regular cage match, not talking Hell in a Cell. Shane had a really good one with The Rock 20 some years ago, but that was just so much gaga and bullshit in that, because Triple H was the guest referee and stuff.
And it's still a Hell in a Cell match, which doesn't really make it a conventional wrestling match.
I said that was a regular cage match.
Sorry.
So that was fun a long time ago. It was an episode of Raw. That was fun. That was when Shane would just have matches, but basically get his ass kicked the whole time. We didn't actually. Oh. This is before Super Shane actually had to start believing he was actually tough.
Emma, you forgot. He's trained MMA since that time.
Oh yeah,
Chris.
Yeah. I don't know. but it's just like I guess we're spinning up to this the spot where Braun throws Shane off the top of the cage, but we've already done that. There was a match with Kevin Owens a few years back where Braun just threw Owens off the top of the cage through the announce table and lost. But if they do that here, then doesn't that just prove Shane right that Braun's stupid?
Well, I mean, the WWE has loved people not getting their revenge recently, and that would be a brutal not getting your revenge, whereas Shane just gets to continue to make fun of you for being stupid.
I guess this means that someone else gets to have an all-over-the-building brawl and possibly use the pirate ship. I know one Mr. Kevin Owens called dibs on the pirate ship last year that did not get to happen. So maybe they'll get it this year. I just feel like, you know, a regular cage match is just not a good match for either of these two. But, well, hopefully it'll be short.
Yeah, we shall find out sooner rather than later here, I guess. I'm not particularly excited by the match. Like, neither of them are really all that proven in the ring. So,
well, the only way I liked it was the thought of it, you know, being a typical Shane going over the building.
Oh,
you know, and you have your big stunt bump at the end. This won't be that. So, and I like a good cage match, but this won't be one.
Do you have any more faith in Bad Bunny putting on a good wrestling match after he decided to really clock the Miz during their segment?
You know what? Good for him. You know what? That was beautiful. It was probably the best part of the whole show. it's like the one match they didn't screw up.
That's one where they're maybe just like, just go for it, man. Like, you're not going to hit me that hard.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what it was. I'm sure it's like, because you know what? Almost no one these days really throws a good looking punch. Honestly, Alexa Bliss probably has the best punch in the business.
She did always throw a good punch.
Yeah, but of course they had to take that away from her when they made it at Lacey Evans' finisher.
Well, it never made sense to me, like, that being her finishing move because she was so small. But her technique and torque that she put into it, yeah, man, that was all there.
Yeah, but no. So telling people to just swing for the fences with a punch, go for it. I mean, once again, this match is going to have so much gaga to it. It's just going to be like so much, you know, outside activities and comedy spots. I have no reason to believe it won't serve its
purpose.
Serve its purpose on the show. Yeah, no, I don't think they'll let it go too long. I don't think they'll have Bad Bunny sell like a, you know, too long. I don't think they'll have him on offense too long. I don't think, you know, all these things that could go wrong. Basically everything that went wrong with the Jerry Lawler Michael Cole match at WrestleMania a decade ago. Hopefully they learned a lesson about that one.
Oh my gosh. That was not good.
Were you there live for that one?
I'm feeling like the answer to that is yes. Because which one was that?
27 in 2011 in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Yeah, I know it better by city than I do by number. Because I don't even remember the New Orleans ones. I just remember that the first one was WrestleMania, and the next one was the next one.
The next one.
I don't remember what
happened.
Well, I'm trying
to. For 5 hours. for 7 hours. You couldn't leave. You had to see that Brock versus Roman match with Brock winning again.
Dallas was still the worst. And that was the following. Was that the following year?
That was 2 years before.
Oh.
Yeah, 32 was a really, really bad, long, boring show.
Yeah.
33 ended up actually a really good one overall. None of us went to that. And then you and Jeremy went to New Orleans again. And I feel like the first half of the show was really good. And then it just fell off a damn cliff. I just kept going and going and going.
Yeah, well, and I mean, that first one, it's always easy to remember, too, that that was the one where Lesnar broke Undertaker's streak.
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
How do you get, like, that WrestleMania is, like, one of the most noteworthy ever.
Yeah, of course it is. I was there with you guys.
It's kind of easy to forget the other one, even if it had been, like, good to great.
I'm going to go meet you guys in New Orleans for that one. I certainly regret. I definitely regret not doing WrestleMania in the city, and not doing 2 WrestleManias in New Orleans.
And somehow that was like a Jeremy and Kevin sidetrack, because we were talking about Bad Bunny and The Miz.
Well, one of the closest comparisons you can get, though, is that Lawler Michael Cole match. What not to do in situations.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
It's a little different, but you want to protect the person who's never had a match before from sticking the joint up.
Yeah, and it's probably essentially just going to be a tag team match or a singles match in name only.
Oh yeah.
So
yes, I feel like it'll be fun. I feel like they've got the right group of people. Like, Miz and Morrison know what they're doing.
I guess, did you like the build up for the Raw Tag Team Championships?
That's the only other thing that actually worked on the show. Yes, I enjoyed that. I do feel like New Day's part of the act has gotten very stale. I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that. I'm not a big fan of the Xavier and Kofi hijinks as I was 6 years ago. but AJ Styles is comedy gold. Man, I don't even think he even knows he's funny. He's just one of those people that everything he says and does is just hilarious. He's not even trying.
He's an unintentionally funny guy. He is not trying, and it just kind of ends up rolling that way. That was an enjoyable build. I do like because I'm kind of with you where, Kofi and Xavier almost need to find their own identity. Like, as weird as that says, like, that would do more to freshen up that gimmick than anything else. Like, if they kind of just... I don't want to say forgot about Big E, but they almost need to move on from the New Day thing, is almost as odd as that sounds, or they almost need to reincarnate it. Like, being around for, like you said, like 6 years, like, that's a long ass time to be around. And what, the first few months they were heels, but... And I feel like they had another heel moment during one of their title runs, but they've overwhelmingly been baby faces that whole time.
Yeah, no, no. They started off as heels. Yeah, they did, yeah. And then eventually, you know, got to turn baby face off of that. So, yeah, no, yeah. Yeah, and they had a great run. I enjoy so much of what they did, you know, tremendously. You know. And, you know, I bought at least one, maybe two of their shirt. I think. Yeah, it was a great run. Really, and surprisingly capped off with Kofi getting a 6-month run with the WWE Championship. But ever since then, it's felt like it's run its course.
I think they've had probably some moments since then, but it just seemed like they got the title belts off of Cedric and Shelton because they didn't feel like they were WrestleMania worthy or something. It hasn't helped New Day. I don't think that they've been treated a little bit as an afterthought too. Like Big E has gotten a big push, but the tag team divisions have really gotten the shaft, men's and or women's in WWE in general. Like there has been a lot of time since the that Usos New Day, heyday. Yeah, good God, man. Yeah. So yeah, it's been a long ass time since then, and the tag teams just in general don't get a lot of props. And I mean, yeah, New Day falls into that, like, as entertaining as they can be, and like I still love listening to their podcast, but A, it's all three of them, and B, like that's just not something that's ever gonna really translate well into a gimmick, I don't think, like on screen gimmick, because like they're a little more laid back and relaxed, and I feel like out of character on their podcast. So it's I think Kofi and Xavier could kind of come up with a little bit of a new angle, and I think it might work, but they also kind of need some more TV time to again like just establish themselves, as weird as that sounds, and as long as they've been around, like they've been a separate unit for a while now, and I don't feel like they've gotten any real moments like Big E has gotten over on SmackDown to kind of redefine himself is a new character. So, I'm trying to think if there was anything else. I guess we have the Alexa Bliss stuff. Speaking of her right hand a little bit earlier in the show.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, this week, just a basic build or just pros from Alexa and the Fiend and Randy Orton. Good stuff. Just kind of doing some, maintenance, maintenance work on this feud that has already had a lot of gas poured on it, literally, repeatedly. So there's no real need to do anything too much more with this. So they took a less is more approach with this match this week. and to this match they took the less is more approach, and it was much welcomed.
Like you said, like this storyline has been going on, like, what did we say, like almost 5 months at this point?
Yeah, almost 5 months, yes.
So, you didn't really need to put a whole lot more stock into the situation. Yeah, Orton got a little bit of time, Bliss gets a little bit of time, We still get Bray Wyatt, kind of creeping around since he isn't talking quite yet. So yeah, I did kind of like the little bit that they did for that, but there really wasn't, like you said, like there wasn't a whole lot going on for that in general. It does seem like we confirmed, I would think, some type of multi-woman tag team match. For
Yay.
the Raw Women's, or no, that's not the Raw Women's Championship. It's just the Women's Championship.
The women's tag team championships, yes. Looks like it's gonna be Nia and Shayna, of course. Mandy and Dana. Naomi and Lana. And I take it, Natalya and Tamina from SmackDown. Sorry, Wyatt Squad. Better luck next year.
Yeah, you might get on a WrestleMania sometime eventually.
If that got very. It, obviously, it felt like Groundhog Day with the same people wrestling the same people every week, and the same people on commentary during it, and Reginald doing his same routine. Yeah, kind of messy, not very good. None of it very good. Kind of very, very reminiscent of a days gone by, days gone by war, women's segment on Raw. Short match, all bunch of BS going on around it. Yeah, fine. I guess to just get that many women in one match. For the tag team championship, fine, but yeah, no, nothing too exciting to write home about.
Yeah, and Asuka and Rhea Ripley didn't really get a whole lot of anything either. Like, Rhea got a
No,
little.
but they got just So Rhea Ripley throws a chit table onto Asuka. Possibly knocks her teeth out again. That looked brutal. And then they're going to team up again next week. They're going to team up for the first time, excuse me.
I don't know why the WWE loves that gimmick so much.
I don't know either. It's bad. It's always been bad. Or it's just say it's worked less times than it hasn't worked, or it's been a death more times than it hasn't been. I don't know. It just and why then why do a physical angle with Rhea and Asuka?
When you're
Why would
one,
Asuka agree to this?
oof.
What?
Oh, well. Yeah, I love how
Now.
Rhea can just accept the challenge on her own without input from Asuka or anyone involved in management who we.
Well, I guess Aunt Pierce was right there, but Asuka was down and out. Once again, I was legitimately concerned that something bad happened to her again. Doesn't sound like it did, thankfully. But, at least with the whole deal with Sasha and Bianca, they never touched each other. They never got physical with each other before the tag team match.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, there's no reason Asuka would want to do this. There was no reason to have Rhea do that. This is not a heel. This is we haven't established anything about Rhea Ripley's character other than she's Rhea Ripley, former NXT Women's Champion. And I understand there's all sorts of bullshit going on with Charlotte. Oh, boy, I don't know how. I don't think we have enough time to get to go all into that one. But and so this was a very thrown together deal, but
Yeah, that we kind of talked about some of it last week because Andrade got released. But how has that situation gotten even weirder since then?
why Andrade felt the need to drop the bomb that he did, that the reason we haven't really seen Charlotte for a month is first they thought she was pregnant. They misdiagnosed her as pregnant. And she got COVID, and she's supposedly medically cleared at this point, but they're not going to put her in anything at WrestleMania. So they, you know, are they mad at her or not? Is she mad at them or not? there's a lot of drama there.
Yeah, and it's really like,
I mean, I'd be furious if somebody, I'm a dude, but I'd be very furious if somebody misdiagnosed me as pregnant. I put me on medical suspension for my job because of it.
That ends up costing you a spot, the biggest payday of the year?
Yeah. Of course, that was before she got COVID as well, but yeah, which this whole thing is a lot. And I don't really know what to say about all of it. It's just a wild story. You would never think that Charlotte and WWE would be at odds with each other.
Yeah, that's really all that can be said right now, because I can definitely see the WWE's point of view and not wanting to put her in a match. Just, you know, it seems like a legitimate mistake, but that she had tested high for something that is hormone that is normally high during pregnancy. So they sent her home. So yeah, I mean, they screwed up, but I mean, it wasn't it was understandable, I guess, at least what they were trying to do. But yeah, it's still. Yeah, her whole case since she's come back has been really weird.
Oh, it absolutely has.
She
has not been the same.
There's been the bad wrestling, the bad booking, her publicly complaining about the booking, her fiancé now leaving the company, and then, of course, almost immediately yapping all over the world, which seems unnecessary.
Yeah, he didn't even wait for Talk is Jericho.
Oh my gosh. I guess that's still a podcast, huh?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okie dokie.
It's still around.
Yeah, tapped out of that one a while ago. Unfamiliar if it's still a show or still relevant. I think that about wraps up Raw, though. Anything else big before we move on to the big dog and his officially now two opponents for WrestleMania?
Oh, I think we covered Raw pretty good.
Okay.
So, let's certainly move on.
I think that officially being crowned a triple threat match is interesting, and the WWE definitely seems to be leaning into the, everyone, we do understand that Edge is better as a heel, so we're just going to go this route now. So, it's working out. I think it's helping just the hype in general for the match to have Edge, getting his edge back. I think I said that last week, and it's, I think it was the one YouTube comment I saw when I was watching some highlights that it was just like, heel Edge is the best Edge. And it's just like, yep. Like, kind of everyone knows it, so I think he had his nice, fuzzy, warm comeback. I do think that he'll you know, he's done a good job of getting himself booed at this point. Or hopefully will be booed at WrestleMania. We shall await that verdict when it happens. Do you think that is going to be one of those cases that he is booed at WrestleMania?
I think it's pretty safe to say that Daniel Bryan will be loudly cheered during that match. But it will be interesting to see the new Roman Reigns in front of a crowd for the very first time.
Ah. Yes, that that can throw a little kinker into the plans.
Now, now that he's a heel, will a lot of crowds cheer him? You see.
I honestly hadn't thought about that until you just brought it up, and I'm going, oh my gosh. Like, yeah, this could really be it. Yeah, the pavement and the rubber are getting ready to meet here. Because like you said, like, these are going to be all their really hardcore fans, and they've been waiting with bated breath for a Roman Reigns heel turn. And it has been upon us for quite some time at this juncture. And, yeah. Wow. I'm thinking now, and I'm not sure. I think that'll probably be... There might be some cheering there. But they kind of have done a pretty good job of portraying him as something of a dickhead. And he's been a little bit slimy in the way he's won matches. But, yeah, well, the proof is in the pudding, so we will see what happens at WrestleMania here, I suppose.
Yeah. A traditional crowd, obviously, would just boo Roman Reigns. I'm hoping that happens. Hopefully live crowds, as they slowly begin to trickle back in, will get back to some degree. I'm not saying they have to eat all the crap that we're trying to sell. But let's get back to a little bit of we're happy to be here and play along with, you know, with storylines again.
Yeah, it will be interesting for everyone involved. I'm sure the wrestlers are kind of excited about having fans again.
I'm sure they're very excited.
Because, I mean, how many months now has AEW had real fans?
They've been doing real fans for at least 6 months, I think.
Yeah.
It started with a very small number. Oh. And now they're regularly, I think, doing over 1,000.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've definitely increased as things have gone along. So yeah, it'll be pretty fun to see just everyone involved and how their reaction's going to be. Because yeah, the WWE audience has definitely been more, or wrestlers have been more isolated from the fans and for a longer time.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I guess it'll be interesting to see the setup. Too. I guess they'll have to have things spread out.
I'll save it.
I was kind of wondering if they might shift things down towards one end of a stadium and try to keep the people in a smaller end. You know, I mean, normally they're using the rings basically in the middle of the stadium.
Yeah.
But I wonder, because they're having less fans, and depending upon how they can do the spacing, if they'd maybe switch that tradition at all.
They still have to keep people away, keep people in their pods or the groups they came with. Yeah, they're sitting with. Yeah, they still have to do the spacing. So yeah, still 25,000 in a, what, 70,000-80,000 seat building, so maybe 60,000-80,000 seat building.
Yeah, it's at least, I would imagine if it's an NFL stadium, I'm assuming it's over 60,000 because most of them are generally at least 60,000 to 65,000.
Capacity 65,890.
Okay, so yeah, it's a little under half. Well, yeah, they're going to have to go in the middle. I mean, that is almost half the crowd.
Yeah, that's still. Yeah, you're going to have. You're still going to. You're going to have to. You're going to have to do. You're going to have to. You know. You're going to have to still have to socially distance people and space them out. So yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh yeah. No. No. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they set it up. How they mic the crowd in such a big building with where there will still be so many empty seats. You know, all that will be interesting.
So, what else did they set up on SmackDown? I mean, we have the continued Seth Rollins, Nakamura, Cesaro, almost three-way drama, but, I mean, it's only going to be a singles match when it comes down to things.
Nakamura is not a part of the match, and apparently not going to have a match at WrestleMania, which is very disappointing, but no, Cesaro, you know, arguably the biggest match of his career, a WrestleMania singles match with Seth Rollins. They had done a Rollins getting the swing in the backstage area, so that was fun. That's a match I'm looking forward to.
And another one that I forgot, our good buddy Steve Williams was making the joke about ROH 2009 matches making it to this year's WrestleMania card. And we get some Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. With almost no build-up, but neither of them has anything to do.
they've done a lot with the 2 weeks they've gotten. You know, this doesn't need to be too much. There's they have a very long history to call back from.
That is very useful. If you want to ramp up a feud quickly, you need this much history, and just not everyone's going to have this much history to lean on. So they are a lucky duo to be in this situation.
Yeah, no, they have a good amount of history. It's but there's a different dynamic of the match with Sami Zayn as the heel and Kevin Owens as the babyface. Sammy's been doing some great mic work lately. Kevin Owens is always on point. Their segment on Friday was tremendous at building up a match that doesn't have all that much time to be built up. Apparently one Mr. YouTube sensation Logan Paul will be involved in this match in some way. So, you know what? Some kind of more dressing to put on this thing that, was kind of thrown together. And as long as he's there to play a heel, which I'm sure he is, he takes a stunner, everyone will go home happy.
That was one of those ones when that got I feel like I saw it on Twitter with Sami Zayn trying to talk to Logan Paul. And I didn't realize there had been a successful response. And I'm just like, didn't this guy supposedly get canceled?
Nobody actually gets canceled.
Huh?
Nobody actually gets canceled.
So, yeah, I'm like, this guy's still big enough of a deal for the WWE to want to bring him in. So I was like,
Between him and his brother, it felt inevitable that they would do stuff with WWE, and well, here it is. it's there to prop up Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I'm sure whatever podcast to actually listen to is Sami Zayn with Renee Young, or Renee Paquette, I should say. From today's episode, yeah. It's a lot about his process and how he goes about things and how much creative freedom he's getting with this with this gimmick.
Which, wow, is really not said often enough in the WWE. When it has to be pointed out like that, it's,
yeah,
not a good thing.
Right.
What else did they, oh, well, they definitely set up a big showdown here. Big E and Apollo Crews. Like, this is one of the few mid-card feuds that has built for a while now, and I don't know if they knew they're going to turn Apollo Crews heel when they started this whole situation, because it just seemed like they were going to let him accept being the loser.
Yeah, I saw the heel turn coming from the start here. It was, but first it is, of course, you know, Apollo Crews got a little bit of a shine in with the U.S. title run on Raw last year. Yeah. Before he ran into the Mack truck known as Bobby Lashley. But
yes,
you know, so he'd been done a little bit of prominence in the last year before this all started. But it didn't feel like he was going back down. He was going back down the card after all that. So it didn't feel like when they started something with Big E and Apollo that it was going to be Big E's WrestleMania match. But they've done a really good job with it. And Apollo's doing the best work of his career during it. And Big E's pretty much on fire. He's really showing a different side of himself. You know, obviously, you know that this has brought out the anger in him. So yeah, no, this is it's unfortunate their match at Fastlane had such a screwy finish. But they were able to recover from that and get to a point where their match is on at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Good for them. Like, I'm excited to see that match. It'll be interesting to see how the finish goes in that match.
Yeah.
Honestly, just because that's another one of those Drew / Bobby matches. You don't want to see Apollo lose any momentum necessarily. And there is kind of an easy outlet for Big E to move on to Roman Reigns, possibly. Or in short order, should he lose at WrestleMania. So, yeah, I'll lean that way for now, but I definitely would not be disappointed with Big E coming up with another big run. And, heck, weren't we just the ones talking about him running the whole way to next WrestleMania to take on Roman Reigns? Hell.
Yeah. That's definitely still on the table.
Bianca Belair was her match against Natalya Neidhart too long? We have discussed these things recently, so
I would say no. I would say that was getting Sasha and Bianca on the right track. I don't think it was too long. Everything they did with Sasha and Bianca was good. Bianca getting her back with a slap, but you know, Sasha getting Bianca from behind with the backstabber. Yeah, that was finally some just real booking 101 type stuff. You know, Natalia's still a good win. You know, for anyone in the women's division.
Oh. Yes.
She will never not be that, at least.
yeah. Not gonna sucker us into those money numbers, but you can always sell a Natalya loss. And again, she's gonna Well, I mean, she might have a chance at the women's tag team championships one of these days.
Yeah,
and actually
I
win
see
them.
That. I definitely see that coming. So, yeah, no, it was good stuff for them this week. Yeah, the first good week for Sasha and Bianca, as the push for them to actually get the closing spot at WrestleMania continues. And, you know, it can go either way with me.
Man, the only
other, now that we, go ahead.
I was going to say, the only other match that I'm seeing here that's leading to a WrestleMania match, Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic look like they're going after the SmackDown version of the Tag Team Championships.
Well, yeah, I certainly see that being a fatal four-way. I think that's pretty obvious that we're getting a four-way there. With them, yeah. and Gable and Otis and the Street Profits and Rude and Ziggler. Fine, good stuff. You know, they can, you know, really build it as, you know, from the Mysterio point of view, as you know, father and son going for the tag team championship for the first time. Dominic will be wrestling in front of a crowd for the first time in his career.
Yeah, that is pretty wild to think about, considering that he's been around almost the whole COVID era.
Yeah.
So I hadn't really thought about it that way. Oh, good for him, though. I mean,
yeah,
they've definitely dialed back his push by quite a lot at this juncture. And it seems more reasonable, honestly, for both of them to go after tag team gold at this time in their careers. You know, it's a good thing to start Dominic out with. It's definitely something that Ray could. You know, I'm sure he's probably held the belts at some other point.
Oh, I'm sure he's held it multiple times.
You know, I was just trying to think of the last time. honestly,
the last time Rey
but yeah, I don't really remember it.
There's a ring with Edge I remember, and then once again, I'm sure he's been tagging champions four or five times with four or five different partners. I don't feel like looking it up right now, but I'm going to just assume that's true.
Yeah, but it would be a pretty fun story to see him end up winning it with his son. I don't know if they're necessarily going to do it at WrestleMania here or not, but it would be fun to see that happen at some juncture.
I mean, it's either that or the Street Profits getting the belts back. I mean, there's no...
Oh.
I don't think anyone's... No one's clamoring for Ziggler and Rude to retain.
What?
I guess the last thing to talk about is someone who is, so far, not on WrestleMania and hasn't gotten to be on TV in about 3 weeks. One Miss Bailey. Essentially carried WWE through the summer months of the pandemic era and cannot find her way onto WrestleMania to save her life.
Well, and after you said that, I'm like, oh, she hasn't even gotten a Ding Dong Hello segment.
No, she has not. They gave that up. And it went back to the Kevin Owens show.
They like Reginald so much that they bumped Bailey.
Yeah.
Oof, man, that's a rough one to spit out.
Yeah, it is. It's really unfortunate that it's come to this. I don't even know where you can fit her in at this point.
She's too late.
Yeah, it feels too late unless they want to just throw her and Charlotte out there against each other for just because, which if they want to do that, I guess they could do that. I mean, you can't even really do a battle royal because there's going to be eight women in a tag title match.
And it,
it's not enough women to do a battle royal unless you bring everyone over from NXT.
Well, and that would be weird since you're already having a two-night NXT thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, yeah, Bayley, and unlike Charlotte, she has not had any drama.
No, she hasn't. She has been a model independent contractor and a huge star for them. There is no reason for this.
Yeah, because, like, the last time I remember her, there was, what was that, when her and Sasha lost the tag team championships, was that their last really bad backstage moment? I always feel like Sasha got assigned a little more blame than Bayley, but I do feel like Bayley was part of a fit backstage after that, if I'm not mistaken.
That's been proven false over and over. Repeatedly.
Oh, okay. Okie dokie. Well, but I mean, that's the last time I remember her even being close to not being on the good side of management.
I mean, I'm sure they weren't happy about the situation. And as we know, Sasha took off for 6 months after it. but them on the floor loudly complaining, like hitting a tantrum like children, that did not happen.
No. Okay. But yeah, I mean, she's been great, so it's pretty weird that that she's without anything to do. And like you said, like they're out of, not completely out of women, but they're definitely using a lot of the women on the roster. And I mean, you lost Lacey Evans, obviously. Like, she's not going to be in there. I don't think. Like, oh my gosh, I hope you wouldn't waste a return of Becky Lynch on a battle royal.
No. That would be the, if they could squeeze it together at the last minute, that might be another thing you could do. Maybe do something along the lines, if Becky's not available, not ready for a match, you still have her and Bayley interact, you know, a live ding dong hello segment, something of that sort, to set up something for the future. I mean, I guess the pickings were going to be slim to begin with, but it still doesn't feel right that she's just had nothing.
Agreed. And I mean, I'm not sure that there's anything else I can add to that situation, honestly. Like, I just, I feel bad for Bayley. She definitely deserves better than being off of the WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
So, with that, I am going to talk about the Belltime beer of the show. This week is one I've had previously, Pretentious Barrel House. Unremitting. It is a sour ale that is uses Chardonnay wine grapes. It was in Sangiovese and Cabernet Sauvignon grapes also. So, yeah, really tasty wine-style sour ale. And I believe they are shipping all over the fine state of Ohio. So if you feel like you like some sour ales, I would certainly suggest that. And I'm also a wine fan. So, hey, two thumbs up, combining alcohols. I love it. That is, so yeah, that's the beer of the show. I'm at Frang11. That's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and any number of fine podcast locations. And have a good night.
Later.